and pain would result. There is clinical evidence that the physiologic alteration in TMS is oxygen deprivation. It has long been recognized that heat introduced into muscle by diathermy or ultrasound machines will relieve back pain temporarily. So will deep massage and active exercise of the muscles involved. All three of these physical measures are known to increase blood flow through muscle. Increased blood flow means more oxygen, and if that relieves pain, it is logical to assume that oxygen deprivation was responsible for the pain. There is also laboratory evidence for this concept. In 1973, two German research workers reported finding microscopic changes in the nuclei of biopsied muscles from back pain patients, suggesting oxygen deprivation. For additional evidence on the critical role of oxygen in TMS, we are indebted to a group of research workers who have demonstrated in their laboratories in recent years that muscle oxygenation is low in patients suffering from a disorder known as primary fibromyalgia. A group of Scandinavian researchers were able to measure muscle oxygen content with great accuracy and found that it was low in the painful muscles of patients with fibromyalgia. What this means for the etiology or cause of TMS, as I have long maintained, is that fibromyalgia, also known as fibrositis and myofibrositis, and to some as myofasciitis and myofascial pain, is synonymous with TMS. I have treated a large number of patients who came with a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. Their medical histories and physical examinations were consistent with severe TMS. As proof that the diagnosis was correct, they recovered completely. Therefore, it is reasonable to maintain that the finding of mild oxygen deprivation in the muscles of patients with fibromyalgia supports the hypothesis that the cause of pain in TMS is the same: oxygen debt. As I mentioned earlier, TMS manifests itself in many ways, both qualitatively and quantitatively. And it is clear that what is called fibromyalgia is one of the ways in which TMS occurs. These patients are among those who suffer the most severe conditions, for they tend to have pain in many different muscles and to suffer from insomnia, anxiety, and depression, as well as generalized fatigue. All these manifestations are interpreted as evidence of a higher level of repressed emotionality, primarily anger, and therefore more severe symptoms. Most contemporary medical investigators cannot accept such an explanation, since it violates their basic presumption that the etiologic explanation for physical abnormalities must be in the body itself. They cannot conceive of the idea that something like back pain might originate in the brain. And therein lies a great tragedy for the patient. For as long as this conceptual recalcitrance persists, the patient will continue to be misdiagnosed. Oxygen-deprived muscles are painful for two reasons that are known, and perhaps others that are beyond our ability to comprehend. Muscle spasm is the first and most dramatic. It is responsible for the excruciating pain that people experience when they are having an acute attack. However, once the attack has passed, the muscle is not in spasm. In the thousands of patients I have examined through the years, I have rarely found the involved muscles to be in spasm. The second reason is that the chemistry of the muscles may be altered. At the moment, we do not know what these alterations are, but they are painful. It is of great interest that both muscle spasm and these chemical changes can be observed in long-distance runners whose muscles suffer from oxygen deprivation. The presence of muscle pain, either felt spontaneously or induced by the pressure of an examiner's hand, means that the muscle is mildly oxygen-deprived. It does not mean that the muscle is, quote, tense. It needs to be emphasized that this oxygen deprivation is usually low level and does not, therefore, damage tissue. This is particularly true of muscle. The term trigger points, which has been around for many years, refers to the pain elicited when pressure is applied over various muscles in the neck, shoulders, back, and buttocks. There is some controversy over what precisely is painful, but most would agree that it is something in the muscle. Rheumatologists, who have taken the lead in studying fibromyalgia, appear to avoid using the term, probably because of its association with other diagnoses through the years. I neither use it nor avoid it, for I have concluded that these points of tenderness are merely the central zones of oxygen deprivation. Further, there is evidence that some of these points of tenderness may persist for life in TMS-susceptible people, though there may be no pain. Earlier I made the point that most patients with TMS will have tenderness at six key points: the outer aspect of both buttocks, both sides of the small of the back, or lumbar area, and the top of both shoulders. These tender points, trigger points, call them what you will, are the hallmark findings in TMS. They are the ones that tend to persist after the pain is gone. It is an important part of the physiology of TMS to know that the brain has chosen to implicate these muscles in creating the syndrome we know as TMS. Patients sometimes ask if breathing pure oxygen will relieve the pain. This has been tried, and unfortunately does not help. If the brain intends to create a state of oxygen deprivation, it will do so, regardless of how oxygen-rich the blood is. Nerve tissue is more sensitive and delicate than muscle. It is likely that oxygen debt causes nerve pain, because the reduced level of oxygen threatens the integrity of the nerve, as it does not in muscle. In other words, muscle can withstand a lot of oxygen debt before it will be damaged, far beyond that which occurs in TMS. More sensitive nerve tissue, however, is more easily damaged, and in order to warn the brain that something is wrong, pain begins with very mild oxygen deprivation. We postulate, then, that nerve pain in TMS is a warning signal. Other nerve symptoms are common in TMS. The person may experience feelings of numbness, tingling, pins and needles, burning, pressure, and other even less common symptoms.